from a word from the Lord. Amen. There's a word that God wants to drop into our spirits, and I want to get to it very, very quickly. Nehemiah is a cupbearer of the king Artaxerxes. This year is 445 years before Christ, and Nehemiah is in a state of what we would call revival. Somebody shout revival. He is reviving. Somebody shout revival. He is reviving the great city of God, Jerusalem, the walls that have been degraded and destroyed for years. Nehemiah took it upon himself to initiate a force against the adversary. Anybody feel like fighting the adversary tonight? And he said, we will rebuild this wall. We will rebuild this wall. I know I'm telling somebody to say some things tonight, but I want you to say it with an attitude. We will rebuild this wall. And the Bible says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded a wall and that there had not been any breach left therein. Nehemiah said they heard a rumor. They heard a rumor that the walls were being rebuilt and that the work was finished. But I want you to pay note to the parentheses here, the clause for conversation. Nehemiah said they heard the rumor that I was rebuilding the wall, and that was true. They thought that the work was finished, but that was not true. He said, though at the time I had not yet set the doors upon the gates. What Nehemiah was trying to say in short, he said, revival is not finished yet. Say it again. I hope somebody will latch on to it. I said, God's not done until God is done. Come on, the Holy Ghost is not finished until the Holy Ghost is finished. I said, God's not done until God. Nehemiah said, the work is not finished yet. Somebody shout, it's not finished yet. Bible said, and that Sanballat and Geshem, they sent messengers unto Nehemiah, said, come, let us meet in some one of the villages of the plain of Ono. But they thought to do mischief to Nehemiah. They were trying to impede the work. They were trying to stop the progress. And Nehemiah returns a word back to the adversary in verse 3. And he sent messengers back unto them saying, I'm doing a great work. Anybody feel like God's been doing some great stuff? I just need 75 tonight. That's all I'm looking for. Anybody believe that God's been doing some great stuff in families and he's been healing bodies and he's been saved? Come on, he's doing a great work. I said, I'm doing a great work. This is the word that I pray would get deep down in your spirit tonight. Anybody ready for it? Nehemiah returned fire back on the adversary. And he said, I cannot come down. Now, I'm saying this, and I pray that I can say this in a way that it would be invigorating into your spirit. I don't know what side of the tracks you grew up on. I don't know where you live, what your background is, but I know everybody's got an attitude at some point. Don't nudge your wife or don't nudge your husband. I want you to say this with me with an attitude. I cannot. I want you to get mad at the adversary tonight. I cannot. That's been making progress. You need to get this in your spirit right now. Come on, your prayer life is better than it's ever been. You need to get this in your mind right now. Come on, if more souls are being saved than we've ever seen, we need to get this in our bones tonight. We cannot. come down. With the help of God, I know there are some that are watching by live stream, and I'm not saying this to be arrogant tonight, but God wants to drop a word into the spirit of this church tonight. And I pray you would chew on it for weeks and you would put it in your back pocket for months, that down is not an option. Come on, somebody ought to let that simmer a little bit. Come on, the progress we made, we're not giving it up. Come on, come on, the ground we gained, we're not giving it up. Come on. Oh, I wish somebody would get it in your spirit and put a praise in your heart. Down is not an option. Down is not an option. God, come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. Shout down is not an option. Amen. God bless you in the fear of the Lord. You may be seated tonight. Down is not an option. I've been praying about this revival and where we are. And thank God that this revival is not over. Somebody shout hallelujah. I've been praying that God would do something in the roots of this church. And I believe that God's church is a church that is a part of an extending and ever-increasing government, which means that things just keep getting better and better and better and better. But when things get better, there comes a point in your progress that there is an adversary that is dead set, that if he can do everything he could to stop you from going where God has taken you, he would get right in your way. Anybody believe that tonight? And with the help of God, I want to let God's people know that there are some points that we get to the Spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. There are some spiritual maturation progression processes that, Brother Frost, there are some things we can't afford to give up. Come on, anybody feel like I feel tonight? I said there are some things I cannot afford to give up. And I want to get you on board tonight, so can I tell you a short story? I want to get you on board tonight. Before I get to Nehemiah and the spirit of Nehemiah, I'm drawn back some years back, way back in some years in my life that I'm not too proud to talk about, back in the years of primary school, elementary school, if you will. And I can remember my years of young life very, very vividly because the days of my life have been etched in my mind. I went to a private school, a magnet school, if you will, for what we would like to call nerdy kids. Any nerds in the room, wave your hand at me. So I went to this school. It required testing to get in. It required testing to get out. And this school that I went to, I remember the days of going to school because I acquired a very unique group of friends. I was extremely popular, believe that or not, but not in the way that you would think. In my young years, was a very ruddy and a very small young man. I was short of stature. By the time I was in the sixth grade, I would be lined up. They would either line us up in alphabetical order, last name Williams, which would put me at the back of the line, or they would line us up by height. And the tables got turned. I went from the back of the line all the way to the front of the line because at 13 years old, I was still shorter than all of the boys and all of the girls in my class. I know you're thinking I'm being evangelistic and I'm just trying to make this sermon sound a little good, so I brought a picture tonight because you won't believe it. If they have the picture, I want you to see how small I was in stature. All right, that's enough. Y'all can take that down. The girls are sitting down, and they're still almost as tall as I was. And so being that small and a nerd is probably not a good combination. So Brother Casey, I acquired a very unique group of friends. These friends would meet me as soon as I got off the bus. They would meet me in between class. They would meet me at recess. And I can remember the day vividly that I would be tormented to go to school because day in, day out, week in, week out, I would be bullied just about every day I went to school. There was nothing I can do about it. I was overpowered. I was outmatched. I was overweighed. There was no strength. There was no ability to war back. I'm still preaching tonight. Just anybody, let me tell the story. There was no ability to fight back the adversary, the adversaries that were warring themselves against me. And I'm preaching to some people that's felt like that. You felt like the adversaries had your number. You tried to get a closer relationship with God. You tried to get out of the ruts. You've tried to move forward. You tried to build. You tried to grow. You tried to make progress. But out of all of the efforts you made, sometimes the adversary seems like he's got your number. So I'd be afraid my clothes would be tattered, torn apart. And God, I wish they would see me now. Thank God for puberty. And so I got to the point that I was so frustrated with my inability to fight back. And some of you think this is funny. It ain't funny at all. I got to the point I was so frustrated. I did not know what to do. I didn't want my dad to see me with my clothes all over. I didn't want to tell mom and dad I was being bullied at school. I was being put in trash cans upside down. It was embarrassing. And so I would go to my room and I would think and I would cry and I would think and I would figure out, what am I going to do tomorrow? And so I began to think and think, as nerdy kids do. And so I came up and concocted a plan to fight back against the bullies in the only way a nerdy kid would know how to fight back. I thought it would be a good idea, and don't laugh, I thought it would be a good idea to start reading the dictionary, because I figured if I couldn't outpower them, I could not outrun 5 and 6 of them. I figured if I could not overtake them, I figured it, Brother Michael Hayes, that I would just insult them. Because nobody likes being called a word that you don't know what it means. I feel my help in the house right now. You don't even know whether to feel bad or good because you don't even know what the word means. So I started reading the dictionary. I'm hurrying. I started reading the dictionary. I became fascinated with words. And I the reason why I tend to be verbose in speech is because I just started trying to learn as many words as I can. I tried to insult them. I tried to obliterate their minds. I wanted to impose my will on them mentally. That's what a nerdy kid would think to do. So I started reading the dictionary, and I would read words, and I would learn them, and I know you want to know what words I was using, but that ain't the point. And I would start reading, I would read it, and I would learn, I would read over and over, and I got distracted because the bullies weren't even the main topic of the conversation. Now I became fascinated with words. I wanted to expand my vernacular, and I got to the point to where I started seeing things in the dictionary that you should not be seeing. There's more than words in there, believe it or not. Words have power. Words have meaning. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. And that's why you just can't be a punching bag for the adversary. At some point, you've got to open up your mouth in prayer and start sending some messages back to the adversary. Come on, every voice that's telling you that you're defeated, you need to start talking back. Come on, every voice that's telling you that you're not getting out, you need to start. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody on a Tuesday night. At some point, you've got to get something in your spirit and start fighting back and saying, I'm not rolling over. I'm not taking this one more day. Come on, I've made too much progress. I've gained too much ground. I've got too far to turn back. Come on, anybody hearing the Holy Ghost right now? I've come too far to turn back now. God almost shut. So I learned something about words. I'm getting there. This sermon's not that long. I just want you to stay with me. I learned something about words, that words have power and meaning. That's a fact. But I understood something about these definitions, the prefix, the suffix of the words, the connotation, the context of the words became fascinating. And I realized that words were so powerful, that words had more than power, elder, but words have what we call posture. Somebody shout posture. I know you feel like you're in English class, but just keep on listening. Words have posture. I learned that words can be positive. Somebody shout positive. Words can be negative. Somebody shout negative. Or words can be neutral. Somebody shout neutral. The very lively meaning of a word, when you let the words leave your lips, it can breathe negativity, it can breathe positivity, or it has neutrality. It doesn't lean either way at all. And these words, the more I learned them, the more I read them, I realized that you can learn what a word means before you even know what it means. By the way, the words, the letters are arranged within the word. The prefix, suffix can tell you the posture, the vocabulary posture of the word. Anybody still on board? Because words can be positive or negative, I learned by happenstance. One day I was reading and looking, and as I was going down the list of words, there was a particular index of letters that really grabbed my spirit and my attention. And that's why this word is so critical tonight. The words that begin with this particular letter, not all of them for all the Google fact checkers, not all of the words that begin with this letter had this posture, but a majority of the words that begin with the letter D, somebody shout D. Almost all of the words, as I'm going down the list, something strikes me, something jumps off the page as I'm realizing I don't know why. I can't comprehend it. I can't quite categorize it and put it into stance, but I realize these words somehow had a negative posture. I hope I got your attention tonight. And so I started going down the list, and I realized words started jumping off the page, and I start running into words like death and danger and darkness and disease and decrepit and disaster and divorce and damage and debt. Devil. Demon, distraught, depression, decadence. Give me another one. You feeling it? What? Derelict. And for the bullies, I had a good one. Dimwit. Boy, y'all just started preaching with me right there. I don't even know. For whatever reason, almost all of these words, they had a negative posture, that they were the expressions of declination, meaning that something was in decline. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost about to help us right now. If you have a disease, that means that your health is in a state of decline. If you have debt, that means your finances are in a state of decline. If you have divorce, that means your marriage has declined. If you have death, that means it's over. I said, Lord, what that's got to do with Nehemiah in Bakersfield? I've come to tell you that your posture is your choice. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I said, if we're going to make a decision, if we've got options on the table, I've got to tell somebody on a Tuesday night in the middle of revival in Bakersfield that we've got a choice where we go from here. We've got a choice what we do from here. We've got a choice what the road looks like from here. We've got a choice what the harvest looks like from here. And I've come to tell you, your pastor is on board. Down is not an option. Come on, I need about 50 more to stand up. Come on, I come to tell you, we're not going back. We're not giving up ground. We're going to keep on running the aisles until we have no more aisles to run. Come on, I come to tell somebody, you need to get it in your spirit that down is not. Come on, clap your hands if you feel like I feel. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on. I wish you would praise God in victory. Come on, with a sickle in your hand and a maul in the other. Nehemiah said, I'm not getting off of this wall. I'm going to keep on building. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on. Come on, somebody praise God like you mean it. I told that about you. Come on, I'm not satisfied until my whole family's on the pew. I'm not satisfied until this sickness is. Come on, I'm not going to be defeated by the adversary of my soul. I've got dominion. We've got power and down. And so you get it in your bones. I want you to tell your neighbor, down is not an option. I feel a holy encouragement in the room right now. I said, down is not an option. It's a choice. It might be on the table, but if you take it off the table and throw it away, it won't be on the table anymore. I come to tell somebody, I refuse to let the adversary get my joy now that I've got my hands on it. I refuse to allow the enemy to get my peace now that my mind is full of it. I think somebody's getting the word right now. I think somebody's getting the spirit right now. I'm not giving it up. It's not up for sale. It's not up for debate. I'm not being depressed. I'm not being in despair. Come on, lift up your voice. Something's happening. Come on, lift up your spirit. Something's happening. My baby's prayed through. My husband got a hold of something. My wife. Anybody feel that? When you latch on to progress, you don't give it up. I said, once your feet get going, you don't stop them. You keep on plowing. You keep on pushing. And Nehemiah said, I'm going to keep on building until the doors of the gates are put upon the city, because we're not leaving place for the adversary to come in and destroy the walls that we've worked so hard to build. Come on, the harvest that we've worked so hard to plow in. Come on, the work. Come on, you ought to get an attitude when your visitor don't show up the next service. You ought to get something in your spirit when your Bible study says, I can't meet this week. You got to say, I'm not letting the adversary get room. I'm not letting the enemy get space. I'm not. there's down. And I come to tell you on a Tuesday night, I choose to stay up. I choose to get up, and I'm not going back down. The mountain view is way too pretty. Come on, the walk with God is way too good. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, the works, it's way, I'm doing a great work. And I'm, standing with me, but I hope you're still listening. I in fact, you can be seated for a second. I've got to insert this right here. I've said that this church is on the edge of an explosion. Anybody like the sound of that? Anybody feel what I'm feeling? It's like the stem's been lit. Just waiting. That it really won't be any more seats left in here. I hope somebody's latching on with faith with the preacher. And if you've got doubt in your mind, we'll say, preacher, we've heard people saying that for years. Come on, if you let that spirit of doubt hang around in your house, it ain't hanging around in my house. Doubt ain't an option for me. Down ain't an option for me. Declination ain't an option for me. Descending ain't an option for us. Come on, I'm talking about the faithful people. Come on, the doubters. Come on, you can stay in the corner by yourself. But as for me and my house, as for me and my house, down is not. This church is probably in no wise derogatorily. That's another one. No wise derogatorily speaking against any leadership that's ever transcended the 80 plus years of this church. Because the church gets better and better and better. It's supposed to. Your walk with God is supposed to get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's supposed to. The explosion is a good thing. But can I do something tonight? The Holy Ghost wants me to warn somebody. The Holy Ghost wants me to warn and issue a challenge to this church. Oh, God, thank you for your spirit. Because just as much as we like the spirit of dominion and victory, there's danger that starts lurking around the walls when the adversary sees you making progress. Oh, don't you dare take a nap and think that just because you've been more blessed than you've ever been, that the adversary ain't having conversations with God about you. I heard you were done with him. Let me touch him. Let me break up their house. Let me destroy their family. Am I preaching anybody yet? You know how you know when you have a revival? When hell is fighting you. Come on, if the enemy ain't messing up, trying to mess up your prayer time, you ain't scaring him at all. If he's not trying to keep you from church, he's not bothering you by you at all. Oh, but if you haven't missed a service in months, he's trying to make you. He's saying you can miss a week. You can take a break. The devil is a liar. Down is not an option. Quitting ain't an option. Taking a break ain't an option. Because the danger, somebody shout danger. Because the danger of progress, the danger of progress is that when you have progress, your progress creates a disposition, and your disposition affects your options. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be wise to understand this. There's a difference between up and down. And there's an old wise tale that says what goes up Oh, would somebody preach with me right now? What goes up? When you leave the ground, your disposition changes, and your disposition affects the options. Because when you're up, the only option you got is too simple. When you're down, can I tell you who I'm not worried about on a Tuesday night? I'm not worried about a visitor walking in here and life's been brutally hard. And they just got through a bad breakup, and they don't have the money in the pocket to pay the bills this week, and they want to break an addiction, and people that are losing their minds, losing their hope, and losing their strength, and they're scraping their fingernails on the bottom of the barrel, trying to make life make sense. I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about that man getting so low that he's got no choice but to get on his knees and pray and ask God for intervention. Come on, anybody been low before? Come on, in fact, I'm gonna say it for anybody in the room. If you walked in this house and you feel like giving up on life, I just come to tell you, my friend, I come to tell you, my sister, by faith, that your options are the best options you've ever had. Because when you're on the bottom and you don't have no way out, the only option you got is getting up. The only option you... Come on, anybody preach with me right now. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. Come on, Micah said, when I fall, I've got a predisposition. I've got a proactive plan. I've got a spirit. I'm not staying down for long. Come on, somebody ought to get it in your mind right now. If I fall next week, I'm not staying down. If I trip next week, I'm not... Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Come on, if you make a mistake and you fall flat on your face, you better wipe your face off, dust your knees off, and get up. Get up. 2 Kings 7 and 3, the four leprous men sat at the gate, and they had a choice to die in the famine, or they had a choice to get up and look for a better option. And they declared one to another, and I pray somebody in Bakersfield would get this spirit, and you wouldn't let your sister sit in depression, and you wouldn't let your brother waddle in defeat. They said, why sit here? Why sit here and die when up is a way better option? Come quickly, come quickly. The danger I'm trying to talk to you about is I believe that this church has had the best musicians that they've ever had. And I've already prefaced this, so don't go picking no fights with nobody and say that Brother Williams said our old musicians were terrible. That's not what I said. People of God, we advance, we grow, we learn, we move forward, we get better. We're having better prayer meetings, better altar calls. When Brother Bradford gets back in the desk next week, it's going to be better preaching than this. Church is growing more rapidly than it's ever grew. When you start making more money than you've ever made, I'm not worried about the man that's down. I'm worried about the man that's been so blessed. He said, I can tear down all my barns from the work I've done, and I'm going to build one big barn. And I'm going to kick my feet up and take it easy. And the Spirit of God said, thy fool. When you're making progress, you don't stop making progress. If the adversary had the audacity, the gumption, and the gall Matthew 4, Satan himself understands that your disposition affects your options. Bible says that the devil, hear this, and this is a simple sermon. You don't get no simpler than this. The Bible says that the devil took Jesus. He took him. Preach with me. He took him up. And he set him upon the pinnacle of the temple. He changed his dispositions. He lifted him up. This is why the Bible says that if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. You can't let your guard down for 1 second. Anybody hear me in the Holy Ghost? I said, you come on, when you go out of one fast, that ain't the time to take a break. You need to go on another one. When you finish one chapter, keep going. When you finish one prayer, keep going. When you finish, come on. When you finish, you're not finished until the walls are finished. The Bible says he took him up and he said, if thou be the Son of God, he said, cast thyself. Cast thyself down. He started twisting the scriptures. Isn't it written? He started quoting David in the Psalms. Isn't it written that his angels will be given charge over thee? And when you fall, they won't let your feet dash against a stone. And he's trying to convince Jesus. He said, down is a better option. And I come to tell somebody, down is not an option at all. Adversary vanishes. Think the devil's done, he ain't done. That's why I'm telling you, we cannot give up. Because if the adversary is not quick, Nehemiah had to withstand the voice of the adversary. Sanballat and Geshem sent messengers 5 times. And every time he said, I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down. When you think that the devil's done, he comes back. In verse 8, and the pinnacle of the temple wasn't high enough. The Bible says, and then he took Jesus up. Let him see it, please, if you don't mind. To the highest mountain. Verse 8. He took him up to an exceeding and high mountain. And he showed him, watch this. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You don't think the adversary is not going to show you an option that looks good? You got another thing coming. Showed him all the glory. And Jesus, something got a hold of his spirit. And he whips around in verse 9. And he said, if you would just worship me, if you would fall down and worship me, all he wanted. Fall down. Jesus said, it is written. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt not serve anybody else but the Lord thy God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, down is not an option. Stand with me. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house right now. When the adversary is knocking at your door, you don't have to let him in. Anybody hear what I'm telling you? I said, when the voices come talking to you, there are some people, in fact, I was praying and looking across the crowd. I won't even single you out. The reason why you can't get the victory is because the people that you hang around don't have the victory. You can't keep digesting gossip and have faith at the same time. Because misinformed rumors down every time. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me right now. The voice of the adversary starts putting stuff in your mind that doesn't even exist. That's why he said, when he's trying to cast you down, you've got to cast down every imagination. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, when that voice keeps lying to you, you've got to plead the blood of Jesus. I'm not accepting that thought. I'm not believing that diagnosis. I'm not receiving that spirit. I'm not defeated. I'm not. Church to get a hold of something tonight. 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 What would it look like if we said the progress we made is going to be permanent? Come on, what if you didn't get back on the roller coaster? Tell somebody, you got a choice tonight. We have a choice tonight. I'm preaching to people. I know the Holy Ghost is helping somebody right now. Some of you, the adversary is absolutely infuriated that husbands and wives have been forgiving each other lately. Absolutely furious. There are some young people that says we had prayer meeting the other night about killing baby giants. The giant ain't show back up yet. And I want to keep it that way. Come on, anybody feel that? I want to get both hands. If you feel like you've been making progress in the spirit, you said, I love the way I feel with my walk with God right now. And I'm not going backwards. Oh, I feel it. You've been fighting some stuff and you've been winning. And you said, I don't want to lose. I don't want the taste of losing in my mouth anymore. Oh, yeah, I feel an army. Oh, I feel an army showing up at the wall. On, the enemy might show up with swords, he might show up with voices, but the adversary shall not prevail against God's people. If their minds are made up, we're not declining, we're not decreasing, we're not dividing, we're not divorcing, we're not defeated, we're not depressed. I wish you would get both hands up right now and said, I've already predetermined. I'm going to see victory after victory after victory. Come on, somebody. Come on, if you feel like you're in a low place, I'm asking you to get up. Come on. God's saying, get up and stay up. Come on, lift your hands up. Oh, somebody's getting a hold of something right now. Come on, somebody ought to pray in the spirit. Come on, somebody ought to get a refusal. I refuse. I refuse. I'm not going back to my ways. I'm not going back to the addiction. I'm not going back to the frustration. Your spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, we're really about to get a hold of something right now. The kingdom suffered violence. I know that the adversary is fighting us. Some of us are fighting for our spiritual walk with God. The adversary is trying to pull your kids out of church, trying to destroy your house. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? He's trying to convince you that your financial status is going to stay where it has been for years. He's saying it's not getting any better than this, but somebody needs to refuse to receive that word and said, I'm going up from here. Come on, up's the only option from here. I don't know about something. If you're going to be a Christian that makes it through hard stuff, if you're going to be a sold out Christian that wins over the voices, you need to adopt the spirit of Christ. What does that look like? Mark 15 and 28, Jesus is on the cross. The Bible says he was numbered among the transgressors. And they wagged their heads as they walked by the cross. They said, Jesus, if you're really who you say you are, you say you can destroy the temple and in 3 days you can build it back up again. He said, if you're that kind of carpenter, have that kind of building program, he said, why don't you come down from that cross? Anybody hear me tonight? But except the Lord build the house. I said, except God would give us favor in Bakersfield, we can't have the revival we need. Except God would intervene, your husband won't be on the pews. But I'm believing by faith God's getting a hold of him while he's down. If you gotta pray, Lord, stir them up. Don't let them sleep. Let them get as low as they can get. Because when you get as low as you can go, you only got one option left. They're coming back home. They're coming back to the house. They're gonna be restored and redeemed. He said, come down from that cross. I want you to link up with somebody right now. We're going to get the spirit of God. We're going to grab a hold of it right now. One body, one people. Come on, all the faithful people, I need you in this prayer. You need to get the spirit of God. I don't know if there was an echo that was coming from Jerusalem. Come on, I don't know if the spirit of Nehemiah was still hanging around at Jerusalem. But Jesus said, I refuse to get down off of this cross. I refuse to stop the mission. I refuse to stop fighting for my family. I refuse to stop praying for my children. Come on, mama, go to war. Come on, I'm not letting the adversary steal my joy. I'm not letting the enemy get my mind. I'm not letting hell get my heart. That's it. Get up. Get up. Get up. Come on, somebody's about to get it. Come on, I wish you would get a Holy Ghost boldness right now. It's not an option. It's not an option. It's not an option. Come on, somebody dig deep right now. Come on, I wish you would get your mouth open and send a message back to the adversary. Come on, send a word back to the enemy. Come on, get a shout back in your mouth. Come on, get a... Come on, you ought to get a dance back in your feet. I'm not defeated. Come on, there's more. Come on, there's more. Come on, you ought to get a hold of somebody right now. Come on, we're not losing. We're not losing. You've been bullied by the adversary, you ought to start punching back right now. If you've been fighting with the enemy, you ought to start fighting back right now. If you've been at war with the enemy, you ought to war back right now.